Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Caroline Levitt, it's such a pleasure. My pleasure to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Hey, Dawn. It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I was just about to report that I know that today there's another briefing, more questions here in Pennsylvania about that attempted assassination of former President Trump, your boss. And, you know, certainly in our prayers that everybody in the campaign, President Trump, his family, you, everyone in the campaign will certainly, you know, be safe and that God will protect you. I think you are truly, I hear more people saying to me, Dawn, I'm praying for the entire, you know, Trump family, the campaign. There's a lot of fear, and I shouldn't say fear. There's just a lot of prayer that you'll be safe in the president. So I just want you to know that.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very kind of you to say. We do need prayer. The president needs your prayers.
Yes.
I can tell you, working for him, this man is working literally 24/7 to win this election. And he cares so much about this country and the people of this country. He has put not only his freedom, which they have tried to take away by weaponizing our justice system against him, but also his life with the heinous attempt on his life in Butler, Pennsylvania. So he's working so hard. And we do need your prayers of protection for the president and our team over the next 54 days. So thank you, Dawn. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. You know, the media does everything in their power to not talk about July 13th. I hope that they certainly report on today's updated briefing from U.S. Secret Service, because they're having to answer again for that investigation. But what's your take on that as far as why the media, and I always call it bias by omission, they omit what happened, which is American history now, but they want to omit it for sure.
Yes, they do. They want to memory hole the attempt on President Trump's life because, unfortunately, they know that it really showed the American people how strong President Trump is. When he stood up and he put his fist in the air and he said, fight, 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 that was a moment that should go down in American history as just one of the most remarkable showings of strength and courage of any former president or candidate for office or leader in this country. And they don't want President Trump to be viewed in that way. And, you know, I think it's disgusting and shocking that at the ABC debate, there were questions about memes and social media, but there were zero questions about the attempt on President Trump's life. And I hate to say this, Dawn, and I hate to politicize what happened, but if it happened to Kamala Harris or a Democrat, there would have been many questions about it, as there should have been, because it was a historic moment in our nation's history. There are still a lot of answers that we need to have for why that was allowed to happen, but the Democrats don't even want to talk about it anymore, and the media doesn't either.
That's so true. I think a lot of us will, during the debate, I was watching, I'm like yelling at my television because when Kamala Harris said to President Trump that people were leaving the rallies early, which I can say for a fact, I know that they're not, but I was yelling, say the only time they left early was July 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania, when a wannabe assassin tried to take him out. To me, I wish he had said something like that. I know that he maybe doesn't want to politicize it. Do we know, is President Trump going to come back here to Pennsylvania? Because I know that he had wanted to do that, to honor Corey Comparator, his family, and the others who survived. Is that on the books yet, or anything you can announce?
So I don't have any announcements to make today. I know that President Trump keeps his promises when he makes them, and that will certainly happen before November 5th. I don't have a date for you yet, Dawn, but as soon as I do, you'll be one of the first people, I swear, we'll do your radio show and we'll talk about the rally and the plan. But the president will be back in the Commonwealth very soon, and he'll be there a lot ahead of the November 5th election. Look, Pennsylvania is a must-win state. The road back to the White House runs right through Pennsylvania, and President Trump knows Kamala Harris would be a disaster for the Commonwealth and for Pennsylvanians. She wants to ban fracking, which would kill 67,000 fracking and energy jobs in your state. It would increase the cost of living. Kamala's weak on crime. You know, I was just leaving Philadelphia yesterday on my way back here to Florida from the debate, and I had an amazing Uber driver in Philly. He was a black man. He told me he was shot 9 times 10 years ago in Philadelphia. And to this day, they never found the killers. And he told me that, unfortunately, there's so many in his community that have similar circumstances, and these people are still allowed to run free. Kamala Harris wants that to continue. President Trump is the only one who wants to ensure law and order and ensure that criminals are behind bars, not roaming free in our streets.
Yeah, and we just this week, I know that you know this, but one of our policemen who was shot, he was shot back in June. He lost his battle for survival. Jamie Roman, who we've been talking about, flags flying at half staff here in Philadelphia as we want to back the blue. And he leaves behind his wife and children, and just another tragedy of somebody who slipped through the cracks and had allegedly shot at police in Puerto Rico before coming here to Philadelphia. So we feel that what you're saying. You know, I wanted to talk about, actually, this afternoon at 2 o'clock, I'm going to be in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Governor Burgum's going to be there. I'll be there helping to intro him and lead off in prayer. But I know that you've just launched Team Trump Agenda 47 Tour and sending surrogates. Is this part of Governor Burgum being here locally?
Yes, that's right. Okay. Governor Burgum is the best. He is such a great surrogate for President Trump. We love him. We love his wife. She's an amazing woman. And they will be in Pennsylvania as part of this Trump Force 47 policy tour across the country. And they will be meeting with voters and taking questions in town hall style formats to talk about the issues that voters care about, and to talk about President Trump's plan to solve those problems. So I encourage everyone to go and meet that Governor Burgum. He is such a nice guy. I know he's very excited about going to Pennsylvania. I actually just talked to him about it when we were at the debate together on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him. 2:30 today, and then this evening we have a Talk Radio 1210 WPHT event this evening that's with Don Jr. So a lot going on with us today. But is part of this, Caroline, is part of this to clarify the policy? Because Democrats keep running these ads claiming that President Trump is part of this, this think tank that put out that Project 2025. And despite the fact that he repeatedly says, I didn't write it, I haven't even read it, it's not mine, but they keep putting that out there.
Yes, they continue to lie about President Trump and Project 2025. He has said repeatedly that this organization has nothing to do with our campaign. The president himself has had nothing to do with it. In fact, the head of the project was on CNN just days before the debate saying that President Trump has nothing to do with Project 2025. Kamala still spewed that lie, and the moderators still did not fact check her on that lie. They fact checked President Trump five times, fact checked Kamala 0 times. It's a disgrace. David Muir and Lindsay Davis should be ashamed of themselves for their biased performance on Tuesday. But the truth remains that has nothing to do with our campaign. And the only official policy is that those that you hear come out of President Trump's mouth himself at his rallies, and those that are listed on our website as well.
And you've been very public in noting that former President Trump wants another debate. Do we have one on the books? Is it going to happen?
Well, look, we don't. We are in negotiations, but we don't have a date set. I think it's yet to be seen if that happens or not, and we'll have to see.
You know, real quick here, when I saw on social media that you had your baby, we talk about political surrogates, I thought, did she have a surrogate? There's no way that she had just had a baby. You know, God bless you,
no,
but you're a new mommy. What an exciting time in your life. I'm so proud of you, and we just love you. What are your days like? You're a new mommy. You work for former President Trump. You're working. You're on the campaign trail going across, the country. What is your day like?
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy being up with a newborn multiple times in the night and then early mornings working all the time. Our jobs on this campaign literally never stop, especially working in the press office and, you know, dealing with the media. There's so much fake news out there that we are just fighting every minute of the day. So it's a lot. It's challenging times right now, but it's for a good cause, and it's to save our country. I couldn't think of a better cause to fight for on behalf of my son, who is 2 months old yesterday.
Oh my goodness.
And I want him to live in a country where freedom exists. So we're fighting and working very hard on this campaign every day. 54 days. Believe me, we are counting. We're looking forward to a big win on November 5th.
Yeah, you got to fight, fight, fight. Caroline Levitt,
exactly.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You take care, too. Isn't she wonderful? 855-839-1210. I just think that she's so natural and just a great spokesperson for Trump. But I was trying to make some news there, Dan. I was trying to get some news out of her.
I tried my best. Oblige.
I know, right?
She's like, maybe we'll wait on it.
Yeah. So we'll see. As soon as we know that, you know, if and when there's a debate, and then, of course, you know, the other one that I had talked about as far as Butler, PA. The Butler, PA rally, I want to go to that one. I hope all of us can do a road trip together.
That'd be awesome. Could you imagine?
You know, because that will be incredible. I think that it will happen at some point in October. If I could put this out there, David's bye week is the first weekend in October. I'm just saying, you know, that would be perfect.
Planning around my son's bye week. Come on.
Planning around the kids. But I can't even imagine her life. Just, you know, she has literally a 2-month-old baby trying to juggle all of that. Incredible. So if you want to react, 855-839-1210, the number to call. Cut sheet cleanup. You know, we've had this on the cut sheet for a little bit. I know Greg Stocker had it on his cut sheet. Dan Borowski had it on his cut sheet. Elton John. What is Elton John, Rocket Man, what does he have to say about Trump calling Kim Jong-un Rocket Man?
Give me one sec on that, Don. Sorry.
Yes, sir. No, I love this story. I love that. I love that song. But Elton John he was friendly with Rush Limbaugh, right? There's like this connection, and I believe sang or performed at Rush's wedding back in the day, right?
Yeah, there's that famous story that Elton John, even though he's, you know, someone that you wouldn't expect to be right-leaning, Rush and him struck up a friendship, and yeah, he ended up performing at the wedding. I don't know if there was any money involved in that, if there was an exchange of... I know us private citizens, we ourselves can hire Elton John to perform at a wedding for the low cost of $1.5 million.
Wow.
Yeah. Woo. I do have that ready for you if you want it.
Let's hear it.
I know that you're not a supporter of Donald Trump's. He loves your music. How did it feel when he took the lyrics to Rocket Man and he used it as a nickname for Kim Jong-un, and then he gave Kim Jong-un...
I laughed. I thought it was brilliant. I just thought, good on you, Donald. I'm the Rocket Man, yeah. Donald's always been a fan of mine, and he's been to my concerts many, many times. So, I mean, I've always been friendly towards him, and I thank him for his support. Yeah, when he did that, I just thought it was hilarious. It made me laugh.
He gave Kim one of your CDs and signed it. That was in one of the books about him, because Kim, I guess, didn't know the song. So,
what's that?
Kim Jong-un the signed CD.
Yes.
You know, which he never heard of it.
I know, of course he hasn't heard of me, Kim Jong-un. Maybe I'd be very surprised if he had. I've never toured North Korea, and I have no intention of doing so. But... I thought it was a light moment, and it was fun.
I love it. Thanks for playing that. So there it is. Rocket Man, little Rocket Man. But the truth is that, you know, Trump showed these leaders, he showed them respect. And that's really all they want. You know, Aretha, I have to go to her. But he showed them a little respect and sat face to face. And what's the old saying? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And that's really the Trump philosophy. And so he could pick up the phone. He could have a conversation with all these different individuals. And I think that's a key to his effectiveness. But to demonize them, think about the impact on that. If you are a leader, if you're the president of the United States, and you demonize them, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to do what they want to do. Look around, my friends. Look around at the world. By the way, they did. There was a story this morning. I thought rut-row, but we had a scramble. U.S. fighter jets scrambling some Russian fighter jets in right off of Alaska. overnight. Did you see that? Yeah. It just always, but everything's fine, and they did their deal, and just, it's kind of like when the neighbor's dog, you know, starts going across, and you say, don't you come across that fence to bite my dog. As we talk about In the Air and Rocket Man, we've got our own Rocket Man making some news today. This is a Pennsylvania billionaire. This is one of my favorite stories. This is a Pennsylvania billionaire, and he's making history as he is the first on this commercial spacewalk that he completed just this morning. Pennsylvania businessman, Pennsylvania billionaire. And it's a pretty cool story that it's right out of Pennsylvania. It's making international news. Do we have audio on this guy, on Isaacson? I'm not sure if we do or not. His name is Jared Isaacman, and he's Commander Jared Isaacman of Pennsylvania, along with mission specialist Sarah Gillis, expected to exit the Dragon. They have the coolest names. You know, they're watching like Game of Thrones, and they, you know, get all these ideas. That's just my theory. But they exited the Dragon spacecraft on their extra vehicular activity, as SpaceX describes it. And it's a pretty cool mission. But all crew members are now considered spacewalkers, as the capsule was depressurized for the outing, exposing all four crew to the vacuum of space. So I was telling my one son about it yesterday. I'm like, yeah, this guy. He goes, where are they walking? It's a spacewalk. And this is why you love kids, right? And teenagers. Because where are they walking, Mom? I'm like, in space?
I do have the moment of him stepping out of the craft and out into space. And you can hear control room and viewers applaud. Take a listen, Don.
I'm at the bottom of the mobility aid. Progressing.
I have a feeling the crowd is about to go wild.
It's pretty cool.
We're SpaceX. Back at home, we all have a lot of work to do, but from here, Earth sure looks like a perfect world.
Beautiful.
What a quote. Did you
hear
that?
What a quote. Sure. Could you hear it?
Yeah, let me play it one more time. That's going to be the one step for mankind quote there.
There's SpaceX. Back at home, we all have a lot of work to do, but from here, Earth sure looks like a perfect world.
Back at home, we have a lot of work to do, but up here, looks like a perfect world.
Earth looks like a perfect world. Beautiful words. And so, mission complete. I mean, they did it. It's history is made. He's Jared Isaacman. He's an American entrepreneur, pilot, philanthropist, commercial astronaut, and he's the founder of Draken International, which is a private Air Force provider, and the founder, the CEO and founder of Shift 4 Payments, and that's a payment processing company. And so his estimated net worth, at least $2 billion. So it's pretty cool. I mean, is he even 40? He's not even, he's 39 years young.
41.
Is he 41?
Yeah,
sorry.
He's 41.
Okay, thank you.
And he actually 41. was a high school dropout, a horrible student. He had a Netflix docuseries, Countdown, Inspiration for Mission to Space, and went to Ridge High School out in Jersey and dropped out, and obviously moved over to Pennsylvania and all. And
yeah, Lehigh Valley.
Yep, and everything skyrocketed from there and became a self-made billionaire.
You know why he dropped out of school?
Tell me.
This is my theory as a mom of boys. Because boys, especially, but brilliant people, you put somebody who's brilliant, who thinks outside the box, but also male, and they're bored. They're just bored.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And so class size matters, the school matters, Montessori matters, all of that matters, because if they're not stimulated in school, they're not going to do well. So I'm glad he dropped out. To then go on to do his thing.
Yeah, he specifically said, often dreaming of greater things rather than focusing on his classes. Yeah.
That was this one teacher when Michael was like 5 years old, and he was my Michael, and he was like, the teacher said, Mrs. Menti, your son, you know, we love Michael, but he went around the class. This was like a summer camp. And he says, he picked up a drum and he started playing this tune. And before I knew it, he's leading all the children around and they're all singing and so on. And I said, oh, what a leader he is. He's so creative, my Michael. And she was like,
No.
She was not happy with me. But I felt like going, yeah, well, he was bored in your little stupid summer school lady. So that was the end of that summer camp. My Michael is brilliant.
Did you pull him right out?
It was only a week camp, so that was toward the end, but he was bored. That's the problem with our schools and our schools. So this is all part of don't even get me started, Dan. But when you and Maisie have kids, you talk to me, because if you have boys, then you have to understand that a lot of times our educational system right now, you know, wants kids to be sheep. And especially with boys, because girls tend to have, you know, I just think be more compliant, just their personality, not all, but with boys, they want to medicate them or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're boys.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Let them be.
From the other side of things, though, I mean, it's got to be tough because I was education before I moved into radio and student taught. Got to the parent-teacher conferences and realized that I can't deal with this many cooks in the kitchen. Or it's either cooks in the kitchen or just completely inactive parents. So I don't know. I was on the other side of things there for a bit. But I'm going to be hopefully soon on your side of things, and we'll see how my opinion changes on that.
Are you guys having a baby?
Oh, no, not yet. There's nothing to announce. Yeah.
So you're just having the fun part of trying to make a baby.
We're getting to the point now where
we're personal.
No, it's fine. we were very much. She's an accountant, and obviously I do radio, and we wanted to kind of get our careers in order first before we started pursuing a path for parenthood. And knock on wood, the time has come. So.
I remember you. When even you wanted to marry Maisie and pop the question, and you had said that, you know, student loans were a big issue.
Yep.
And so, you know, I just think about the impact on your life. I mean, your marriage, your even delaying, you know, getting married or having kids because you're trying to do things right.
It's sad. Like that's where we're at, my generation, because she has student loan debt. You know, it's so much so that it's almost like an extra mortgage per month because we're trying to do the responsible thing and pay a little bit more and get it all paid off as fast as we can.
Crazy.
But to imagine that, you know, we're expecting an entire generation who's saddled with this debt, which I often argue I think is unfair to place the blame completely on these kids who are, you know, hoodwinked into thinking they need to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And then to expect, you know, so underlining everything, when it comes to the topic of student loans, you might hear my opinion here on the Dawn Show, something a little controversial compared to a lot of conservatives, where I think conservatives need to have a full embrace of the student loan issue. Obviously approaching it from a different direction where we're not forgiving loans out of nowhere, but to completely ignore it and to victim or turn, you know, these tons of young voters into victims of an attack.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think is a way to win over voters. So we'll explore that as we go forward here on the Dawn Show.
Yeah, and for sure, when you think about the fact that it used to be affordable, it still is more affordable at the state level, but it used to be really affordable. Mm-hmm. So part of the problem is big government, these endowments, the sort of the money laundering machine that is now exposed through especially private and Ivy League schools and so on. But you think about that, that's what has ballooned the cost of these colleges.
Yeah. Like even if the strategy for conservatives is pointing out the hypocrisy of forgiving student loans while keeping open borders and creating a supply and demand on the housing system, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to allow children, young people, to enter into adulthood successfully, and you're creating an environment for them at the same time as forgiving their loans of supply and demand where, you know, housing prices are skyrocketing and it's impossible to, you know, start a family and have a home. So it's pretty hypocritical from the Democrats to have the two standpoints they have.
Yeah, it's cruel. It is. But we want to hear, we can't wait for you and Maisie to have a baby. We'll have like a baby shower. It'll be so much fun. I can't wait. 855-839-1210, the number to call. So we'll talk about some very sweet news and a new kind of poll that we'll take a bite out of. Coming right up.
Everyone wants to know, what do the sales maybe tell us about who might win the election in November?
Well,
talk to me about sales.
The sales, the red is leading by a lot.
By a lot.
By a lot.
You got the tally board over
the
here.
The tally was just updated. You're new to see it, but almost by 4,000 cookies, as you can see. And that's tremendous. Tremendous for us as a small business to produce this and sell this as well and see the faces that are coming around to buy these from all over.
The famous election cookies. Is this how the cookie crumbles? I'm trying to use all of my you know, horrible little... This is what newsrooms do, and we're so guilty of it.
Snort. That was great.
It's how the cookie crumbles.
Oh, that's bad.
In a good way for Trump.
Gosh.
Do we have Kathleen Loeschel?
We do.
We're so excited.
Here.
Hey, you have the best cookies and the best sweets and the best treats in Hatboro. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you this morning?
Doing great, Kathleen. So tell me about your cookies and your cookie poll.
Oh, well, it's bringing us a lot of business. A lot of cookies people are walking in for. We're shipping all around the country. We've almost hit every 50 states.
Oh my gosh.
And I know, it's tremendous. And we have about 300 more orders to ship out courtesy of Donald Trump sharing it on his Truth Social.
Wow.
Can I interrupt real quick? I'm curious, how many ovens do you have inside your bakery, and how many of the ovens are being used to cook these cookies?
So we do have one large oven, and then we have a smaller one. And our bakers, my husband, and he has a team of three others, they're working overtime right now to produce the cookies. We do anywhere between 900 and 1350 a day.
Wow. That's amazing.
Thank you.
And so is it, so just to visualize it, the cookies, they're sugar cookies?
Yes, it's a 4-inch round sugar cookie made with butter, and then we use a special icing called a royal icing because it hardens. It's almost like a sweeter marshmallowy icing, and then we put an image on it with the candidate's name and 2024, and then we surround it with what we call jimmies, but some refer to as sprinkles.
Now, have you had a visit from anybody in the Trump family?
In 2020, we did. We had a surprise visit. I, unfortunately, was not here.
Uh-huh.
But we did have a 2020 visit by Eric Trump. My husband was here and did meet him.
Oh,
and that in 2020 did spark a lot of interest. But we have not had a visit this year, no.
You know, what's interesting is, because people always said, oh, the collar counties are all going blue. But if the cookie poll is true, then maybe we have a lot of closet cookie lovers who are also closet conservatives.
Yeah, we have a lot of customers coming in. Obviously, we're in Montgomery County, but we have a lot coming in from Northeast Philly. Bucks County is just a couple miles down the road. But we're seeing people come from, like, Lebanon, Pennsylvania. We had somebody here who was visiting family from Arizona and drove 2 hours to come pick up cookies here today.
Yes.
So we're definitely seeing a lot of different faces from all over. And a lot of them have stories, like, you know, just a lot of stories that they want to vent about, personal stories. So we're happy to be here to serve both candidates' cookies, but the red is definitely leading a lot.
By the thousands.
Yes.
You know,
yes, literally.
For you running your business, your family-run business, Kathleen, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?
So I've been asked that question a couple times. You know, our business has remained relatively the same sales-wise, thankfully, due to the large customer base that we have and the relationships with people we have. But what we have seen is a lot of increases on our products. And just last week, my husband said the eggs went up almost double just last week overnight. And so we're seeing a lot of that. And I'm afraid to raise prices, as crazy as that sounds, only because I want my consumers to have confidence in me. And I want to hope that things get better on that level. And I don't want to just continue to raise prices. So we're holding steady. Our business is good, thankfully, due to the community and all the shipping. It brought us a lot of business when they tweeted this stuff, thankfully.
So and people can find, you're located there on South York Road in Hatboro. Can you give out your website just so people
Sure.
can check it out?
Sure. It's www.loeschelsbakery.com. And if you go to the right-hand corner of the website, there's a mail order shipping, and the cookies are right there. So right now, it's about 2-week lead time to get them shipped because we do ship them fresh. So all orders will be there in about 2 weeks from the date of order.
Nice.
Yeah, we're happy.
Yeah. So are you hoping that maybe Trump will stop by again for a cookie?
I would love a visit from either candidate. I do feel, though, that the Trump campaign and people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, they have shared this for us. And that's tremendous for a small business like ours, you know, to get national recognition, especially when so many small businesses have been hurt and are closing. So we're very thankful, regardless of which party.
All our best, Kathleen. Thank you so much. I'm looking at your site right now. It's making me hungry.
Thank Thank you. You're welcome anytime to visit us.
Thank you, Kathleen. So it's Locials, and they do it all, of course, wedding cakes and, you know, cookies, cakes. It looks scrumptious. I love it. Locials. I guess Greg Stocker frequents Locials. Have you been there?
No, I haven't, but it looks delicious.
I haven't been there for quite a while. I have picked up things in the past, but haven't been there for a while.
Stocker's a fan?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Stocker.
I'll have to give him a try.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounded delicious the way she was describing with royal icing on.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite cake?
Carrot. I mean, it's a very Philadelphia answer, I feel.
Is it?
Especially ones from a tray down in Rittenhouse Park.
Really? Mine is just dark chocolate.
Really?
Dark chocolate.
Yeah?
Totally.
It's not bad. How about like a lava cake? You fan of the lava cake?
Love it.
Yeah? Maisie, too.
Love it.
It's often underwhelming, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm a chocolate-holic. So the Trump cookies, I mean, the thing is, I could have those in my house because I would not be tempted by them because they're sugar cookies. They're not chocolate.
You're not a fan of sugar cookies?
I mean, eh. I mean,
who doesn't like sugar?
I'm sure they're delicious because they're homemade with real butter.
Yeah,
and eggs and whatnot. But I'm not tempted by that.
Yeah,
the chocolate is irresistible for me.
You know, chocolate. Often I'm with you from bakeries or packaged sugar cookies. They aren't good. But then when your mom makes them for Christmas, it's a completely different story when they're using that butter and all those great ingredients. So.
And warmed up a little. Mm. Oh, my goodness. So we know that Attorney General Merrick Garland is giving a live update and denouncing, quote, dangerous and outrageous attacks on the Department of Justice, prosecutors and personnel. This is what he's saying. Speaking out about this, and it seems to be a little bit of a spin here, but says that there are dangerous and outrageous attacks on Justice Department prosecutors and personnel today, and he wants to reassure them that he has their back. So this is his speech that he's giving as far as attack. You know, I don't know that he's giving the evidence of where these attacks are coming from. Were they emailed or were they on social media? Where are these attacks coming from? I don't have that information. All I can tell you is that there was a lot of rhetoric before July 13th here in Pennsylvania against former President Donald J. Trump, who actually was grazed by that. You know, his top of his ear was kind of blown off, and it was a deadly bullet intended for him, obviously, with the U.S. Secret Service today expected to give another briefing. And so is this Merrick Garland being genuine or disingenuous? Is this a situation where he's trying to maybe deflect and talk about threats against his department? That's really how I see it, because they just are trying to mitigate the damage of the publicity surrounding all of this. That's what I see. 855-839-1210, the number to call. Do we have the Locials Bakery update? It's about 4,300?
Yeah, as of yesterday, it was 4,400. But I called him back for an updated number, Dawn, and I'm happy to report that I've been sitting on hold now for about 3 minutes, so I'm hoping that they've been inundated with
the cookie count. It's like, you know, we're counting the cookies, but it's a landslide. Let's just say it. I mean, the red Trump cookies, you know, in the thousands, 4,400-ish, against the blue Biden-Harris cookies. Those are going for like 400. So your thoughts on all of this? Who was going to talk about the donuts?
Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. You love these donuts.
I speak with you a couple of times. I speak with Dom at least once a week. Anyway, I can walk to Locials in like 3 minutes from my house.
Nice.
And this, let me just tell you, if you have not had, I'm hoping Kathy Locials is listening. If you have not had a Locials cider donut, you have not lived, because they are second to none. Ugh. You gotta have one, honestly, God. But you guys enjoy your day.
Thank you. Have a blessed day for sure. Yeah, when it's those warm donuts, oh, the best. I'm glad I don't live right next to a bakery like that, because that would be trouble for me for sure. Locials. Hey, Jim in Wilmington. Do we have Jim? Hey, Jim. Maybe not. Sorry.
Hello.
Hey,
can
Jim.
You hear me?
Hello. We sound like the commercial.
That's my fault.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hey, I'm going to be a little facetious here because I understand that people are kind of being like nonpartisan, but I really think they should send out the 4-inch cookie to the red people and then reduce the size of the blue one, saying this is a result of inflation.
Kamalanomics cookies.
Sorry, shrinkflation.
That's funny. That's very funny. Yeah, but they're trying to
be
fair.
Have a good day.
Thanks. Have a great day. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. No, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, you heard Kathy. She's not, you know, I think we know how she leans, but she was being very fair and talking about the cookies, talking about business. And that's just it. Talk about the issues. Talk about the economy. That's what I hope everybody does this November. Just think economy, economy. Think about the cookie and the size of your cookie, right?
Yeah.
And that's seriously, that's it. I have to get to really quick. I want to get to the story of a huge ship. It's actually bigger than the Titanic.
Is it really?
It's eviction day. It's eviction day for this huge ship right here in Philadelphia Shipyard. I know you love this story, Dan.
IKEA Titanic. It's so sad.
It's they're booting it. It's evicted. Is that the part of the economy? What do you think? So it's the, you know, we have a lot.
Sorry, I was just taking off.
Okay.
So it's about a 200 more for each. About 200 more for the Trump cookies and only tens more for the Kamala cookies. There. USS United States, Dawn. And it's sad because this liner that's parked down there in South Philly has such an illustrious history. At one point, I think Sinatra might have performed on the ship, and it was actually the fastest ship to traverse across the Atlantic. Like, there was national news written about the USS United States down there, and it's sad to see now that it's just in complete disrepair to the point that the dock is now evicting them, and they got to go somewhere. Is there a solution as to where they're going? Would you happen to know? Because I haven't seen that yet.
There was a proposed plan that could turn the vessel into the world's largest artificial reef. But that is on hold.
What a sad... These are the things that we should be protecting, parts of our history. Like, New York, they have the Aviation Museum or something that's on an old battleship, and you can go look at some of the great planes. Like, here you have something, a movie that was one of the hottest-selling movies of all time, Titanic. You have a very close,
it looks
real
like it.
Thing to the Titanic that would draw people to Philadelphia if you would give them full, beautiful tours through this renovated ship that you just don't give a damn about. And it's so sad that what we're talking about now is driving it off the coast and sinking it. Yeah.
Yeah,
really,
you know,
really
what?
Sad to see a part of our history just be forgotten like this.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say, because this is right here, this is a microcosm of my argument with my husband. See, he never wants to throw anything away. So the garage, we can't even use one of the stalls. The basement. And he's like, oh, no, we got to save it. Get rid of it.
Does he keep every box for every electronic you get for no reason?
Everything.
Yeah, me too. I don't know why I have a TV box from 5 TVs ago still in the basement.
And all the kids, like, at toys from all the... It's like, no, let's get rid of it. All of it. So I'm gonna take the opposite view, Dan. I think that's we got to get rid of it.
Come on.
Boom.
You think
clean
it's a blight on the river there?
Yeah, it's ugly.
Can you imagine
how rusty
the waterfront would do for South Philly if we, you know, opened up a tourism destination down there?
It would cost too much. It would cost way too much. Or make it scrap.
So
scrap metal. It's probably real steel or whatever it's made of. Dom Giordano, are you a
hoarder? Dom's on your side as well.
So. Well, yeah. Dan is crazed over this, but I'm not on your side. You're like, Ro, there's a gender gap here. Always moving and throwing things out. What do we need it for? What do we need it for? Are you crazy? You never know when we might need this ship. We might be at war, and Dan is going to commandeer it and float down the Delaware.
Oh,
see?
Please.
Yes.
Throw it out. Recycle it. Repurpose it.
All right. So, Dawn, we have Bill O'Reilly coming on at 12:30. No one that I can bring knows Trump better. And we just found this Jimmy Kimmel calling Kimberly Guilfoyle a drag queen. Yeah. So we'll get into that. And Kimmel is Mr. Empathy until it comes to the Trump family.
That's
the
terrible.
Viciousness never ends.
And real quick, guys. Sorry, Dawn, go ahead.
No, it's sexist. And she is Puerto Rican, so... It's racist and sexist. I'm not being facetious.
And on that note, talking about Guilfoyle, tonight, Dom, huge event that you guys will both be there. You're hosting Don Trump Jr. for Politics and Pints, Scottish Rite Auditorium. Cannot wait to be there.
Yeah, and Kale and Dawn there, too. Boy.
And I think
the lights will be up.
Greg Stocker said, like, maybe two tickets are left. Ooh. Anybody wants to make it?
Yeah, there's a few in the lower bowl sold out. We're into now the Campbell's Soup Bowl. You'll see why.
Campbell's Bowl, Dom. No,
no, you can't call it the Soup Bowl. Campbell's wants Campbell's. To get rid of soup. Are they nuts?
A big show ahead for Dom and a big night with Don Jr.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.